Cindy, are you back on?
Yes, there you are. Go ahead.
All right. Hello, ladies. I am so honored and so excited to introduce you to my director, my recruiter, and my senior national sales director, Cindy Fox. She joined Mary Kay in August of 1981, debuted as a sales director in July of 1983. She has been a star consultant 113 quarters, Queen's Court of Sales 4 times, and also achieved the Diamond B in the Queen's Court of Sharing. She has earned 15 career cars, 11 pink Cadillacs, 3 of them pink Escalades. She calls it the Barbie car. She's currently driving the Escalade Hybrid and just received the 2013 model in May. She has been driving a career car since September of 1986, more than 27 years of virtually no car payment. She has achieved the Circle of Achievement and Excellence 14 times. Her highest circle of excellence was the $800,000 unit club, which earned her and Steve an extended trip for 2 weeks to Hawaii, all expenses paid for her and her husband that year. She and her husband, Steve, have been on many five-star trips around the world, all expenses paid, courtesy of Mary Kay, including Vienna, Austria, England, Ireland, Wales, and Hawaii twice. She was recognized as the Seminar 2001 Emerald Seminars National Miss Go Give. She truly leads us by example. She has won more than 24 carats of diamonds, including 2 4-carat diamond rings. Her highest check was just this past June, which was $32,252. She debuted as a national sales director at Seminar 2004. She is a Mary Kay multimillionaire with more than $3.5 million in commissions. She reached the Diamond Circle of Area, Diamond Circle Area as a national 5 times. She's married to a wonderful Mary Kay husband, Steve, of 22 years. They have twins, Sam and Susie, who are now 17. She is motivated by God's word, her family, and awesome sales directors and beauty consultants in her national area. Please give it up for Senior National Sales Director, Cindy Fox.
Thank you, future executive senior sales director, Cadillac driver, Julie Potts, who is the number one sales director in our national area as of Seminar last year and did her first $500,000. And so congratulations again to Julie and her unit for that. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Cindy Fox. I'm so excited to be sharing with you guys. And I just want to thank all of the national sales directors, my girlfriends, who have contributed to these Cadillac by Christmas calls every week. I hope that y'all have enjoyed them as much as I have. Counting mine, there's 11 of them total. And so I'm just so thankful. You know, I tell everybody, you know, the two reasons I would go back and do my 32-plus years in Mary Kay if I had never made any money, and as Julie shared with you, I've made a lot of money, and I plan to make a whole lot more. I believe I will make a whole lot more. I would go over and do it again if I had not won a pink Cadillac, if I had not made any money, if for no other reasons than the personal growth that I have gained from it, overcoming low self-esteem, which I had truckloads of when I first became a Mary Kay consultant at the age of 21, and the friends, the Mary Kay girlfriends that I have. I can honestly say that the best friends that I have on this planet are Mary Kay consultants and directors and national sales directors. They really are, and I'm so thankful for that. I looked over my notes, and I took a whole notebook of pages of notes from the previous 10 calls. All of them have been so amazing and so different. Every single one was different, and yet there were consistent things in every one of the calls, and the calls are still available. I hope that you'll call the playback number and just hit number 1, 2, 3, all the way through. Today's would be 11, reference number 11, and listen to them again as you're getting dressed in the morning, as you're driving. You know, set the call up before you put the car into drive, okay? And then put it on speaker and listen to it as you drive, and enjoy them again. They've all been so great, and I couldn't, outdo any one of those. So as I was praying, and I believe if Mary Kay was alive today, which her spirit is still alive in us, in the national sales directors and the top directors that were around when she was still alive, that she would tell you this, that this was her philosophy of life, that you should pray about everything, fear nothing, and love people. Pray about everything, fear nothing, and love people. So as I was praying about what to talk to you about, it just occurred to me that maybe if I shared a bit of my story anyway, and then the one thing, you know, I'm always looking for a theme for the new year, and so I've been saying God's ready to do a new thing in 2014, but then it occurred to me this morning in the shower that, you know, what's the one thing in 2014 that you're going to do different? What's the one thing in 2014 that you're going to achieve to the glory of God? What's that one thing? For the last 3 years, the scripture that God has put before me over and over again, and, you know, when he's speaking to you, he'll confirm his word over and over and over again, and it'll almost get annoying, sort of, in a way, that you keep having this scripture, you know, put in front of you. But it's in Philippians 12, chapter 3, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I know that I follow after, if that I pray, I apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of by Christ Jesus. And then this verse 13, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended. In other words, he says, I've not made it yet, I've not arrived, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching forward towards what lies before me, I press toward the mark, which is the date, the goal, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what's that one thing? What's that one thing? And so I hope my story will help reveal to you the one things that I have done over the years. As Julie shared with you, I joined Mary Kay in 1981. I said it was for personal use. My friend, Dawn Otten Sweeney, National Sales Director, she says that a lot of us said that, but it was a smokescreen. And that's true of me. I said, you know, personal use, and that's why it does not bother me to recruit people for personal use. I pray about everything. I pray about the people that I sponsor into the business. And if discernment, if my spirit man says, yeah, this person really wouldn't ever do anything but personal use probably, you know, I don't pursue her. But if I have that gut feeling, that push of this person really could do more, then I'll pursue her. Even if she says, like I said, I'm not going to do parties. I'm not going to go to those meetings. Don't call me. Don't bother me. That's what I told my recruiter, told my director, you know, not going to do this business. I just want to get my stuff half price. But that was a smokescreen, because in my heart, I had another motivation, another reason, and I thought in my heart, if I could really make a go of this business where I could let go of my J-O-B, which someone shared with me recently, is an acronym, I thought it was for Journey of the Broke, but it's Joyless Occupational Bondage. If I could let go of my J-O-B to do this and be able to stay home with my children, that was my heart's desire. I didn't have any children at the time. I was married and was trying to get pregnant, attempting to get pregnant, but didn't have kids at the time, and that was my heart's desire. So I began my Mary Kay journey. Had been in Mary Kay a year and a half. I was a red jacket by happenstance, because after I did start my Mary Kay and made my first goal, which to always go to everything, never miss a meeting. And then my second goal was to always be a star. And really, y'all, those two decisions ultimately led me to become a Mary Kay National. Those two decisions, to never miss anything, to go to everything. And guys, I hope everybody's listening to the sound of my voice is registered for Leadership Conference. You just got to go. Can I tell you that? Can I beg you? I'm not above begging. I'm not too proud to beg. Go to Leadership Conference. You deserve it. You need it. You need it. If you're on top, if you're having your best year ever, you need it as you're riding that wave, you know, to carry you to even a better year than what you're tracking for. If you're not having a great year, you really need it. And you know what? Going to leadership is not a vacation, for sure. It shouldn't be anyway. I mean, we have fun. We have a great time every time we're together. But it's not about that. It's about just excellence. And that's where leadership, that's where you get excellence, is at leadership. It is the big girl panty club party of the year. You got to be there. Find a way, make a way, and don't miss it. Don't miss it. Be at leadership conference with us. But those two decisions, never miss anything, always be a star, led me to be a national. And then I was a red jacket after a year and a half because I had done 2 to 3 selling appointments, parties mostly, every single week. And if you do enough parties, you're going to have 3 people ask you. And that's kind of what had happened. And then my adopted director, Cadillac director, Judy Dunlap, said to me, she was my adopted director, after a sales meeting one day, she said, and she's one of my best friends still after all these years, more than 30 years, and she looked at me and she said, what's your problem? And so maybe that's what I need to say to somebody on this call today. What's your problem? What's your problem? To speak the truth in love. And she said, you know you're supposed to be a sales director. Everybody listening to this call, you're supposed to be a Cadillac director. You wouldn't have called in today, whether it's by playback or live. You're supposed to be a Cadillac director. What's your problem? What's holding you back? What's stopping you? And she said, you know the suit is your color next year. And can I tell you, the suit is always our color, isn't it? Always. And can I tell you, the national suit, which you got to be a Cadillac director to get in the national suit, it's going to be your color. It's your color. Nobody looks bad in that suit, okay? And so she said, go home and go to work. And I guess that's all I needed, was I just needed somebody to just tell me, just straight on, you know, go home and go to work. And here's the one thing that I did. I put a handout that had been given to me probably a year before on my refrigerator, and it said 10 attempts a day in your business, 10 attempts a day. And I did that consistently 6 days a week, not on the Sabbath, but 10 attempts a day in my personal business. And in 6 months, I was a director. Yeah, you say, can't be that easy. It wasn't easy. Easy means little or no effort, but it was simple, very simple. And wherever you're at, 10 attempts a day will give you a 180-degree turn in a good way. It really will. And so recently had an email conversation with top director, million-dollar director, Cindy Mikado Flippin, who were in different seminars, but I've admired her from afar because we're in different seminars for a long time. And I had heard that 10 attempts a day was what she did to go from, starting a year with not even tracking for, you know, a unit club or anything, to doing more than $500,000, and it was 10 attempts a day. 10 attempts a day that did it. So that was the one thing that happened. So debuted as a sales director in July of 1983. And I want to say this, that Judy Dunlap, my adopted director, as a Cadillac director, you know, she modeled excellence before me. It was the standard in the Helen Titus National area. That Helen Titus is my national. She's an emeritus now, has been retired actually for 20 years. And she modeled excellence before us. She was a Cadillac director, and she had many Cadillac directors in her national area, especially amongst her first line. And so my question to you is, what are you modeling? What are you modeling? You know, Cadillac is a standard of excellence. It truly is. And so I'm not here to put you under condemnation. But, you know, my friend, National Sales Director Kim Walker, says, why settle for good when excellent is out there? Excellent is out there. And you can be a Cadillac director. So anyway, I just kept on keeping on and debuted as a sales director. And then I got this dreaded disease called directoritis. Directoritis. And so I hope you don't get that. If you're a DIQ, learn from the scars on my knees. Don't get that. I debuted as a sales director and I stopped personally working. I thought, I have arrived. This is it. I've done my work. Now, unit, go forth and work for me. Listen, we're not managers, or our title would be manager. We're directors. And a director points the way. And the best way to lead or point the way is by example, by example, by example. That was Mary Kay's mantra. We lead by example, by example, by example. And so I did that, stayed in that rut. It was a rut. You know, a rut is just a grave with both ends blowed out of it. And so I was in that rut for about 2 years, and I was second line to Helen Titus. And my senior director, because of severe health issues, stepped down as a sales director, and so I became first line to Helen Titus. And most of the Cadillac directors in Helen Titus's national area were first line to her. And I'll never forget when Helen asked me to stay after a director's meeting. She wanted to talk to me privately, and I thought, oh, no, she's going to call me on the carpet for being an every other month production. That's what I was. Every other month, by the skin of my teeth, production director. She's going to have, we're going to have a set to, they say it in the South, a set to sit down and kind of, you know, talk strong to you. And it wasn't that at all. She wanted to let me know that my senior had decided because of her health issues to step down, and that made me her first line. And y'all, I'll never forget how I felt. Scared to death. I mean, scared to death, because I thought, I can't be an every other month director, you know, among those Cadillac directors. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. So you know what I did? I went back to making 10 attempts a day. 10 attempts a day. You know, 10 is the magic number in Mary Kay. 10 is the magic number. It really is. You know, Mary Kay's favorite thing, her pet promotion to award people for, to recognize people for, was a 10-show week. Anne Newberry, before she retired as a national, did a conference call webinar for the nationals, and she, this was, you know, the recession that we are coming out of was just beginning, really, you know, hitting different areas of the country hard, and the company had a webinar for the nationals, and Anne Newberry said that Mary Kay taught us that a 10-show week would fix anything, would fix anything. And I admire Ryan Rogers for just a few years ago doing a 10-show week himself. Isn't that awesome that a VP at corporate headquarters would go out there and do a 10-show week because he wanted to model excellence, and he wanted to show us that even though Mary Kay has passed away, her spirit of excellence is still in her children and grandchildren, and he went out there and did a 10-show week. I was so motivated that I did a 10-show week again as a national sales director. 10 is the magic number. 10 attempts a day, a 10-show week. 10 by the 10th, 10 by the 10th. This is something I challenge you to do. You know, between January 1st and January 10th, or whatever month you're listening to this recording, do 10 interviews in the first 10 days of a month. Watch yourself earn a Diamond B. Watch yourself move into Cadillac. When you do 10 personal interviews, 10 personal interviews, and I mean, and qualify your prospects, okay? Don't just interview anybody that breathes, but interview people that scare you, people that intimidate you. Those are the people. Those are the racehorses, National Sales Director Emeritus Rena Tarbett. She taught us the racehorses. You know, go after those people, and you'll be in a Cadillac super fast and win your Diamond B. 10 faces a week. 10 faces a week will take you anywhere. 10 personal faces a week will take you anywhere you want to go super fast in this business. 10 is the magic number. 10 is the spiritual number for testimony. You know, and when you focus on 10, that one thing of 10, whether it's 10 faces a week, 10 attempts a day, you know, 10 interviews by the 10th, a 10-show week, whatever, 10, when you focus on that one thing, I'm telling you, you're going to see amazing results from this. You really, truly will. So I had this good kind of pressure, I would say, to be in a Cadillac because I was first line. So I became, I was accused of being obsessed. One person told me I was possessed. One person that loved me, quote unquote, told me that Mary Kay was a cult, not occult, but a cult, and that I was brainwashed. Well, you know what? There's all kinds of brainwashing. Television brainwashes us. The media brainwashes us, or attempts to. That's why I don't watch a lot of television at all. Church, you know, your place of worship is a type of brainwashing. We go to church. We go to our house of worship on our Sabbath to get our brain washed, don't we? I mean, Ephesians tells us that we are cleansed and washed by the water of the Word, you know. So if Mary Kay is a cult, if it is a brainwashing, it's a good kind. of brainwashing. I think our brains need washing. And so I just became so passionate and about earning this Cadillac. I plastered it all over my house, pictures of the pink Cadillac. I mean, we didn't need wallpaper. I had it everywhere, on my bathroom mirror, on my fridge, on the dash of my car, by my phone. We didn't have computers back then, but now I would put it, you know, by my computer screen. I just had it in front of me, and I ran off. Here's one thing big that I did. I went back to doing 10 attempts a day. I also began to work in five areas. I lived in an itty-bitty town, Sneed, Alabama, which at that time might have had 600 people on a good day. I mean, teeny, rural, just a country, chicken houses, cattle farms, and I had to travel to find faces, to find people, to facial, to find people to book parties with, to find people to interview. I had to travel, and it was commonplace for me to put no less than 500 miles a week, 500 to 1,000 miles a week on my car. Had to. And it was my personal car. It was not a company car, and because I wanted to earn that Cadillac. I had to, because I was feeling to be raised to that standard of excellence that the Titus area modeled. And so that was two things there, 10 attempts a day, working in five areas. And then the third thing is I ran off the doubters, the mourners, and the scorners. You know, there's a story in Mark chapter 6, I think it is. Well, Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth, and I was never really successful in my hometown. And that's why I had to travel. That's why I had to get out of town. I only had limited success there. And it's because even Jesus, he did very few miracles, it says, in his hometown of Nazareth. And it's just God's way of helping you become a national, to make you get out of town, to make you work out of town. Okay? It's God's way of doing that. You know, if it national means you have people all over the nation. All over the nation. If it wasn't that, they would call us, I don't know, city eels or something, or county eels. I mean, you know, you wouldn't be a national unless you had people all over the nation. So that was the thing there that I had to do. And then there's a story in the Bible about Jairus, a man named Jairus, and his daughter had died, okay? And he went and got Jesus, and this is in Mark chapter 5. And he got there, you know, they got there and the little girl had died. And Jesus ran off the doubters. He made them leave before he prayed for the little girl. He made the doubters leave. He made the mourners leave. Who are the mourners in Mary Kay? These are these woeful people that are always down in the dumps, that, you know, you're either a life giver or a life sucker. You know, I mean, that people, some people just suck the life out of you. And so I learned that, you know, I love people, I pray for people, but you can't hang with them. You just can't hang with them if they suck the life out of you. I want to be a life giver, don't you? I know you do. You wouldn't be on this call. You wouldn't be listening to this recording. So he ran those off, and he ran the scorners off. Those are the unbelievers. I mean, they're so doubtful that they've gone, which fear is the root of everything. Fear leads to doubt. Doubt extended leads to unbelief. And when you are in unbelief, you're a scorner, and God cannot help you. Read Psalm 1. You can't. You cannot. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And when you're in unbelief, then God cannot help you, because he's moved by our faith. He's moved by our faith. And so I ran those people off. And so what does that mean? I just couldn't hang with them. I still loved them, still prayed for them. I just couldn't spend time with them. And so began to hang with people that challenged me. Those other Cadillac directors in the Titus National area became my best friends. And you know, Mary Kay told us to hitch our wagon to a star. And that was the one thing I knew that I had to do. You do become like the company you keep. It's biblical. It's scriptural. You know, Linda Tupin, National Sales Director Linda Tupin, has taught us that you will become like the five people you hang the most of your time with, spend most of your time with. You become like those people. So be on purpose about it, you know. So Anyway, then there's a story about Jesus in John chapter 5. And if you don't know me, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a Bible teacher forever, almost as long as I've been in Mary Kay. And so I refer to scriptures, and it's just who I am, and I don't mean to offend anybody. I challenge you to go look these things up and study it out for yourself. That would be the biggest compliment you could ever pay me, was to tell me that that made you go get your Bible out and or get a Bible and read these stories. But Jesus went to a pool at Bethesda, where the story is that once ever so often an angel would come and stir the water, and whoever the first person was that got in the water got healed. And so he goes on purpose to this pool because there's a man that's laid there for 38 years. 38 years and hadn't got his healing yet. You know, and there's folks on this call, and I'm saying this with love, that you've been where you are for a long time. I hope it hadn't been 38 years, but you've been where you are, you know, wanting to move up, wanting to be in a Cadillac, saying it, you know, not just thinking it, but saying it, and now it's time to do something. So Jesus goes on purpose, finds this man who's laid there for 38 years, and he says, in today's word, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? He asked him directly. Now, he's laying by a pool where people come for healing. So why is he asking him that question? Because he's been laying there for 38 years. You know, and there comes a time when you got to quit talking about it and start doing it. Start doing something. I remember in some of the nationals that I are, you know, facilitating these calls with me, probably remember this too, National Sales Director Gloria Mayfield Banks, I think at a leadership, might have been at seminar, in her speech, she said, show me. Show me. She said it about, I don't know, 20 times. Show me. There comes a time when you got to show people that you mean what you say, that you're not just saying it. You're not like the little boy that cried wolf, but you mean what you say and you're doing something about it. So when Jesus said, do you want to be healed, what he really meant was, are you ready to accept the responsibility of your healing? You know, are you ready to accept the responsibility? And I think that holds a lot of people back. Cadillac status holds a lot of people back because of the responsibility. And they think, once I earn this Cadillac, can I keep it? You know, and there is... with success comes responsibility, but you know, responsibility, what it really means is responding to the ability that God has placed within you. He has given you the ability to not only earn the pink Cadillac, but to keep it. You can keep it, okay? And so, but what did the guy do? He made excuses. He said, I don't have anybody to help me. Somebody always beats me to it. But what would Jesus say? Jesus said, rise. Take up your bed and walk. In other words, he was saying, get up, get over it, stop making your excuses. That's the bed was his excuses. Take up your excuses and walk and live it. That's what the walk is. We have a Christian walk. It's a way of life. Live it. Live it. And so anyway, so I earned my first car, which was the Premier Club car. It was a pink Buick Regal. I'll never forget it. I thought that was the most beautiful, two doors. I thought it was the most beautiful car I'd ever had. And then the next 6 months went straight into the pink Cadillac. I just kept doing what I'd been doing, 10 attempts a day, working in five areas, and, you know, not hanging with anybody but the right people, run off the mourners, the scorners, the, you know, doubters, and just kept doing that, went to a pink Cadillac, okay? Had that pink Cadillac, had three offspring in the next 2 years, three first-line offspring in the next 2 years, and then we were in requalification. Requalification does come. So here was the mistake that I made. I did not personally work as I developed and helped develop three first-line. That was a mistake, and so I exhort you, which means to encourage by way of instruction, to always work personally, always. That was a hard lesson learned, is to never stop personally working. And it took me a few getting knocked down and then getting back up to learn you've got to always personally work, okay? And so the 2 years had happened and I hadn't personally worked. I'd had these three offspring. So my unit size was in the 40s. And you can win a pink Cadillac with 40, but you can't maintain it, and or I don't think you can. And so, you know, 75 to 100 is what it's going to take to win a pink Cadillac and to maintain it safely, 100 to 100, when I say safely, with no co-op payments, 100 to 125 unit members is what you need. And so, again, I encourage everybody, size does matter. Unit size does matter. And so don't breathe. I mean, just don't even take a breath, so to speak, and until you get 100 unit members without a DIQ. And you will never have to worry about maintaining pink Cadillac after that. And so here I am. I'm in requalification. I'm struggling because I've you know, let my unit size get down. And then my husband left me and was going through a separation and a divorce. So needless to say, I was distracted. So went from pink Cadillac to a Grand Am. And you know what? It did not kill me. I continued to breathe. My heart kept beating. Lung, you know, air kept going in and out of my lungs. One of my favorite scriptures is in Psalm 118, and I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And that's what I did. I lived and I didn't die. And like Kelly Clarkson says, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. It just made me stronger. I never expected a divorce. Never. Was totally blindsided. We had a challenging marriage. We were both D's. Personality-wise, and that makes for challenges. But I never, ever thought I would be divorced, and so that blindsided me. So took me a little while, about a year or so, to get back to the Premier Club car. And by then I had begun dating my husband now, Steve. Long story, that's a God story, and Mary Kay story too, but I won't go into that. And so we married New Year's Eve, so tomorrow is my 23rd anniversary of 1991. And then by 1992, actually, I called the company because I wanted to make sure I had this right. I was beginning to get back on track. I was back in a Grand Prix, like I said, pink Grand Prix, the Premier Club car. And then by October of 93, received my second pink Cadillac. Okay, and so had that, you know, that push again. And what did I do? I just went back to doing what I'd done before. You know, 10 attempts a day in my personal business, working in five areas and hanging with the right people. You know, you say it can't be that simple. Well, it is. It really, really is. And so and at that same time, I had begun infertility treatments around that same time of earning that second pink Cadillac. And long story short, had surgery in 1994 and became chronically sick after that surgery. I guess being put to sleep, the anesthesia maybe led to this. I had bouts of sickness before that where I didn't feel well and different stuff. But after that surgery in 94, I was sick all the time and just had days where I couldn't get out of bed. Long story short, I had a messed up thyroid, and I was having what doctors call thyroid storms, okay? So that I didn't requalify. When it was time for my third Cadillac, missed it again, but went down to the Grand Prix this time, down to the Grand Prix. But I just, by God's grace, you know, and we grow in His grace. We grow in His grace, the Bible tells us. I just kept on keeping on, and I didn't quit, and I didn't give up, and that's the key. You know, the Bible says that a righteous man gets knocked down seven times, but he'll get back up again. He'll get back up again, and that's important, you know. And why do you think that the Nationals' theme song is "It's not how you start, it's how you finish," you know? And a setback is just a setup for a comeback. So, anyway, then in July of '96, I was back in a pink Cadillac again. July of '96, back in a pink Cadillac again, and because I just kept on, and every time I would go back to those things of 10. You know, 10 attempts a day and working in five areas, which other Nationals on previous calls have said that, and hanging with the right people, and also affirmations. You know, that was something I almost forgot to tell y'all, that I started right before my first pink Cadillac as I began saying affirmations out loud every morning, every night. I actually had 26 personal affirmations, but what if you had 10? If you just had 10 personal affirmations that stirred your spirit and set you on fire, and just set the whole tone of your day. And, you know, you'll have whatever you say. Cheryl Warfield mentioned a great book, which I've read many times, The Tongue, The Power of the Tongue, A Creative Force by Charles Capps. Totally recommend that book myself. It's a little book. Even if you don't like reading, it's not a big book. Get that book and read it because you will have whatever you say. Proverbs 18:21 says, power of death and life is in your tongue. It is in your tongue. So affirmations are so important. Got to do that. And so after that one in 1996, after my third pink Cadillac, which we received and picked up in July of 96, my children were born in September of 96. And so this morning as I was praying, and I'm wrapping up and closing, I had three things that happened close together right before that pink Cadillac, and that has made me consistently. I've consistently been in a pink Cadillac, and I believe these three things are the reason why. In the end of 94 or 93, December of 93, I had three different people to testify to me at three different separate occasions that they had become tithers. I had not been a tither. I didn't know about tithing. I was a Sunday school teacher and didn't know about tithing. Is that something or what? Anyway, one of them was my national sales director, and she admonished us, encouraged us to tithe. And she said that that was one of her 10 secrets to success that she talked to us about at her personal retirement party. And she never told me. I'd known her all those years. I did not know that she was a tither. And tithing is, in my opinion, scripturally, it's 10% of your earnings. And we began tithing, Steve and I, in January of 1994. Okay? And we've been consistent tithers. That's huge. It makes a difference. It's your umbrella of protection. Okay? Read Malachi chapter 3. All right, second thing that was really huge that has made me a consistent Cadillac driver is that I forgave people. And as I'm talking to you now, it's the end of 2013 and we're coming up on 2014. What's the one thing that I would tell you? You know, I've already read you the scripture in Philippians 3. And it says, you know, the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. That's forgiveness. You've got to forgive. You've got to forgive. And there's a book I want to recommend by R.T. Kendall, a minister and an author, and it's called Total Forgiveness. And he walks you through forgiving people, forgiving God. And he talks about, you know, we get angry at God when life doesn't go. I got to be honest with y'all. When my ex-husband left me, I got mad not only at him, but I got mad at God. Strangely enough, the lady that he left me for, I did have some unforgiveness briefly, but I got over her real quick, I guess because I didn't know her. I guess because she had not made vows to me, you know, like he had in the church, you know, sickness, health, rich or poor, better or worse, till death do us part. She had not made those vows. I forgave her really quickly, but I had unforgiveness. I really did. And I had said I forgive because I knew it was scripturally right. I knew I was supposed to. I knew, you know, and I had said it, but it actually manifested in May of 96. I'll never forget it. I can tell you where I was. I can tell you what I was wearing. I mean, I could tell you all the details of it because I remember it felt like I lost 30 pounds. I mean, the weight of it off of me. And, you know, if you're going to be a top director, if you're going to be a Cadillac director, if you're going to be a national, you have to walk in perpetual forgiveness. You just have to. And when you do, it's like, if you're as old as I am, Teflon, it's like a nonstick surface. You're coated in it. Nothing sticks to you. It just slides right off of you. Because people are going to disappoint you. In Mary Kay, not in Mary Kay. People are going to disappoint you. You know, and maybe even sometimes you'll feel like God disappointed you. And so I got mad at God. I thought, why did God let this happen? And can I tell you, Romans 8:28 is the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. God works all things together for good. My former starter husband, as I call him now, really didn't want children. He's never had children all these years. We've been divorced a long time now, since 1989, and he never wanted children. And I always wanted kids, and I would not have my kids if I was still with him, probably. I wouldn't have them. And so you gotta forgive. And then forgiving yourself is in that book. And that's the toughie. I've taught it as a Bible study 5 times. And when we get to that part, that's the toughie. And it's rooted in pride because we think, how could I have been so stupid? How could I have done that? You know, I'm smarter than that. I'm better than that. How could I have made that wrong choice? How could I have, you know, done it? You know? And it's rooted in pride. It really is. And, you know, we're just human and we make mistakes. Paul said, I die daily. We have to repent daily. We have to make changes daily. And you got to let it go. You got to let it go, and you got to forgive. So that's really important. You know, so the first thing was tithe, and the second thing was forgiveness. And then the last thing was my kids were born. In September of 96, my kids were born, and they are my why. My why before was because I was moving up to a new level, a new standard of excellence as a first line of Helen Titus. I wanted to be a Cadillac driver. But my kids are my consistent why. And I, you know, I laughingly say this, but I am so serious. I will cut you and make you bleed for my kids. I mean, I will fight you like a mama grizzly bear for my kids. I will rip your head off, you spit down your throat and tie your head back on. You'll never even know what happened to you for one of my kids. I will do that. I am so serious about that. And it's not just a financial decision, because let me tell you, twins are expensive. Children can be very expensive. And it's not just that, though. It's a legacy decision. I want to model excellence before my kids. You know, I don't know. I have twins, boy-girl twins. I don't know that, you know, my daughter's going to be a Mary Kay consultant or director. I would love that. Wouldn't that be awesome? I would love that. Would love for her to grow up and, you know, be a national sales director with her mommy before I retire. I really would. But if not, whatever she does, she will be amazing at. Sam will be amazing. He will be amazing. My kids are very ambitious. They're driven. And you know, I hope that I had something to do with that, but I give God all the glory and all the praise for it. And so they're my why. So what's your why? You know, if it is just that you want to model a standard of excellence to everybody you meet, you know, because somebody's watching you. If you don't have children, as in biological, adopted, whatever, children, there are people, you have spiritual children, I'll bet you anything, people that are watching you, people you're mentoring and coaching, and they're watching you. And what's going to be your legacy? What is it going to be? And so that's it for me. You know, that's it. That's what I want to be my model, that I, you know, that I had an excellent spirit, because I think that's Christ-like. You know, I think it's in Colossians that it tells us that whatever we do, you know, do it with all your might and do it as unto the Lord. That's talking about excellence. That's what it is. And so here we are, and it's the end of January, and these calls have been Cadillac by Christmas, and I hope you're on track. I hope you've won a Cadillac by December 31st, or maybe on track for it. And, you know, that was something that I began to tell people. I'm earning my pink Cadillac. You know, I'm on track for Cadillac. I said it and said it and said it, even though maybe production didn't reflect it, you know, but I kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it. You got to have it, because there's power in it. There's power in it. And then your actions will begin to line up with it. I have sent four attachments to your national sales directors. One is 10 attempts a day. One is how to find production in the last 48 hours of the month. One is daily dozen for abundance living. These are 12 things that I did daily as we had our best year ever and did 800,000. We were going for a million, but we did 814,000 that year. And that propelled us into NSD, daily dozen for abundance living. And then this one, and I'm closing with this. I got this first in 2006, and I'm not computer savvy, or I would have gone in there and changed it for, you know, 2014. I'll get my secretary to do that, I guess, at some point. But it's Let It Go, and it's talking about forgiveness. And this comes from Bishop T.D. Jakes. And it says, there are people who can walk away from you. And hear me when I tell you this. When people can walk away from you, you let them walk. I don't want you to try to talk to another person and get them to stay with you. I want, or to love you, or to call you, or to care about you, or to come to you, or stay attached to you. He says, I mean, hang up the phone. Or, and today, stop texting. Stop boxing. Stop Facebooking these people. Let it go. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. Your destiny is never tied to anybody that left you. People leave you because they're not joined to you. And if they're not joined to you, you can't make them stay. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It just means that their part in your story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over, so that you got to know when it's over. Okay. Let me tell you something. He says, I've got the gift of goodbye. It's the 10th spiritual gift. I believe in goodbye. It's not that I'm hateful. It's that I'm faithful. And I know that whatever God means for me to have, he'll give it to me. And if it takes too much sweat, then I don't need it. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you are holding on to something that doesn't belong to you and it was never intended for your life, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or an addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a J-O-B that no longer meets your needs or your talents, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others just to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to the new level in Him, let it go. If you're stuck in the past, if you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help someone who won't even try to help themselves, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. Situations that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off of it, then you need to let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things because God is doing a new thing in 2014. Let it go. Let it go. Okay, let it go. Thank y'all so much for calling in today, and I bless you in the name of our Lord. May you have your best month end ever, and may you have the greatest year of your life in 2014. What's that one thing? That one thing, because God is ready to do a new thing. Amen.